the Chirpin' Birds podcast. The Eagles pull off a very exciting, possibly historic all-time win in Kansas City on the road, Monday Night Football, coming out of the bye against Andy Reid. They win 21-17 and improve to 9-1 as they march on the gauntlet. They are 2-0 so far, beating the Cowboys and the Chiefs, and are comfortably the best team in the league at present. Before we get started, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing good. It's Thanksgiving Eve, just 48 hours after this miraculous comeback. feeling pretty good. I don't know about you, but that game still doesn't feel like the Eagles won it. I feel like that's happened a few times this year, but this one probably the most improbable of the season, or potentially the Sirianni era. So yeah, feeling real good.
Yeah, it's improbable for I think a number of reasons. They are on the road against Andy Reid, period. It was a tough game anyways, but the way that they came out and played so poorly and then went into the half down 10 points, I mean, I thought that there was no shot at them overcoming a 10-point deficit, and the defense really stepped up, held Mahomes for the first time in his career at home to 0 points in a loss in the second half. I'm sure they may have held, or he may have been held to 0 points in the second half in a home game before, but probably because they were winning and possibly didn't need the score, but I don't know for sure. But they did enough to win, and I don't know. I watched the game and almost like hurt myself celebrating after. I was in such shock, and I was actually surprised that I let off more steam after this win than after the Cowboys win. Not that I didn't celebrate that also, but just for the game, or for the offense to be so inept for an entire half, to win that game was very shocking and a testament to the Jalen Hurts era being different than anything we've ever known as Philadelphia sports fans. To some extent, we're recording on a Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. The game happened, to your point, less than 48 hours ago, and still can't really believe that happened, really.
Yeah, I think it's, it is one of the more unexpected wins of their past few years. We've talked about heading into the game, Andy Reid coming off the bye is near insurmountable, but also Mahomes doesn't lose at home either, so pairing those two things, not to mention this is a team they just lost to in the Super Bowl, there was a lot going up against the Eagles, and they didn't look like they had it in the first half, but they buckled down. Their defense pitched a shutout in the second half. The other thing is, the offense didn't look good at all. They pulled out a big play here and there, but for the most part, it was largely an ineffective game plan. But, you give the Chiefs credit. They came together with a real polished game plan. They were giving the offensive line trouble. They were giving Jalen trouble. They were giving A.J. Brown trouble, so it was just one of those games where, the Eagles get another quality win. They now have one over the Chiefs, the Dolphins, the Cowboys. So yeah, I think, you know, just to put into comparison to last year, like the Eagles are just like mopping up against bad teams, and that's kind of like what the Cowboys have been doing this year. It's been different this year because they haven't been blowing out teams, but they have those quality wins and they're close games, but so far they've been coming out on the good side of things. So it's definitely different in that regard, but like I'll certainly take this any day of the week. Close wins over quality teams.
Yeah, the game was really interesting because the Eagles looked completely inept. They had one mistake on the A.J. Brown improvisation, and there's a Nick quote, I think it was from yesterday, basically, that, you know, sometimes changing the route as the play is happening works out, and that time it came back to bite them. He obviously beat the guy and would have had an easy touchdown had Jalen seen him, but in that kind of situation, that you can't really expect Jalen to see the guy, especially how bad the pass protection was in the first half. So that was just a miscommunication. I would fault AJ more for that than Jalen. I don't even know that I'd fault Jalen for that because he ran the play as called. But outside of that mistake, they just played bad. They didn't make mistakes necessarily, like outright mistakes, and the Chiefs did. And to the previous game against the Cowboys made a number of they didn't turn the ball over, but they shot themselves in the foot much more. I don't think the Eagles necessarily did that. The offensive line did not play well for most of the game, and they got caught in second and third and longs. So in that way, they sort of shot themselves in the foot, but they weren't really penalized too much. The Chiefs were. The Chiefs had five drops and an interception and a fumble, and those things added up, and you could say that the MVS drop, the Eagles got lucky by that, and there's some luck involved there, but to a lot of the points that I've seen, and I agree with to a large extent, is that's roster building and that's organizational philosophy, that they're not investing in the receiver position like the Eagles have, and the Eagles receivers made plays and the Chiefs receivers didn't. So down to one drop, I don't think that you could say the Eagles were lucky in that game, because the Chiefs had a number of mistakes, holding calls, turnovers, and drops. So they're I have the second most drops in the league, I believe. So that is a win that I think you have to talk about as a gutsy, great win over a great team. And there's no, you know, this or that. You know, that the last throw that went through Watson's hands would have been a first down, yeah, but there were a number of opportunities that the Chiefs didn't connect on, and that's, you know, I would blame Pat Mahomes last for that, but the Chiefs, it's a team sport, and the Chiefs didn't execute when the Eagles did, and the result, you know, was the result.
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of people are kind of understating what that MVS catch or throw was. Like, I don't think that's like an easy catch. Like, it's not full extension, but it's like closer to that than a casual catch. And like surviving the impact there, like, I just think people are kind of counting that like in the bucket. Like, oh, that's a touchdown. And, rather than like, oh no, that's like a very difficult throw and catch.
And as far as like the route goes, there was a previous play where he took like the weirdest route to a ball that ended up looking like it was overthrown, but it really wasn't, because he sort of like hooked around the trajectory of the pass. And I didn't watch the drop enough to analyze if it was a questionable route that he took, but it did kind of look like he ran right under the ball, which is really hard to catch when the ball's coming straight over the top of your head. Like Devontae with his big catch sort of slowed up but still caught it at an angle. You can watch the ball come into your hands by taking an angle to the ball. So that's another element that if, you know, the route taken to the ball there was not optimal, that's another point to their weak receiver core. So yeah, let's talk about the offense. We mentioned, you know, they were pretty ineffective. The there were a lot of punts, there were a lot of QB draws that didn't seem to work except when they did. And
until they did. Right.
Yeah,
until they scored a touchdown with it.
Well, I guess they didn't work, you know, writ large. They worked once in a sandwich of not working.
It was a big setup to the touchdown. They wanted those to fail on second and third and long.
Right. They were a bit more creative in showing look that we hadn't seen all year, and some of that was personnel with Goddard out and then Calcaterra with the ankle. They ran a lot of four receivers, no tight ends, and Troy Aikman made the point that, you know, that's not a package that we see too often. So it was kind of interesting to see the Eagles running something they're not used to running, and also the Chiefs defense having less success against that in the second half because maybe they, you know, didn't necessarily prepare too much for it. But I don't know that is the major portion of the fact of a factor because of the bye and Andy Reid being too smart to not, I mean, he's the offensive coach, but Spagnuolo not considering that kind of package. But they ran the what I liked a lot was the DeAndre Swift sort of I don't know what you call it. He runs out, then he cuts back inside screen pass. That had success two or three times for big games. I don't know if you call those explosive plays, but it's a play that you see other teams do, and the Eagles haven't really done it too much, and they found a lot of success in that. And I thought that was a wrinkle that, you know, Brian Johnson, Nick Sirianni had success with, and it was nice to see a play call that they didn't, that we haven't really seen before. We saw those bubble screens that didn't work, the two-play sequence where it was incomplete to Devontae on one side and then complete to Julio Jones for no gain or right. 1 yard loss on the other.
Wasn't that on consecutive plays too?
Yeah, it was.
It was just like mirror.
So I don't know that Brian Johnson did the best job overall, and Nick Sirianni obviously deserves blame in that as well. Jalen had a good quote, which I thought was, I read it, I didn't see the delivery of it, so this is based on the text only, basically, like, you know, Brian Johnson was a really young, up-and-coming coach in college, and he's, you know, this sort of prodigy-type guy, everything he's accomplished is very impressive, and the fact that he's a coordinator, this quickly is a testament to the person he is, and he'll continue to grow. So it was very non-committal to like, yeah, I thought he called a good game. He definitely didn't say that, but he did say that he's been improving, and I think that's you can see that there are wrinkles and adjustments in the play designs, specifically with that DeAndre Swift play, but also I thought the run pass balance was really good in the second half, and they stuck to the run, which I thought was a really strong coaching decision to stick to the run and know you have an entire half to get back in the game. And the way the defense played, they only needed a couple scores, and that's what they got.
Yeah, the one thing that, like, it's fine if Brian Johnson wants to sprinkle in, like, a QB draw. Like, I don't think that, like, that's something that has been quite successful with Jalen as quarterback. And it's nice to see them go to it. Like, I think that's good news as far as Jalen's health. Like, that they feel comfortable. And, you know, that ultimately is how he got his first touchdown. And we know that Jalen can, like, throw a great go ball. And we saw that with the Devontae Smith pass. But, like, what seemed lacking was just, like, the short to intermediate passing game. Like, there was no kind of quick, like, slants or, like, a dig. Like, there was just none of that. And I think to not go to that semi-frequently with A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith, two guys who are great at getting off the line, getting leverage early, like, it just seemed like, why wouldn't we do that? Like,
AJ Brown had what, one catch for like 8 yards? I don't know if Legarius Sneed just shut him down, but that I agree. I think that something.
Yeah, I think his stat line looks so differently if Jalen follows A.J. Brown on that interception, like, because that's a long touchdown there. But yeah,
right.
Like, you know, those games happen where, like, a guy just doesn't find the ball. Like, throughout the season, that's more often been Devontae, but this game it was A.J. Brown. But I just think sometimes you got to force the ball to your stars, and I don't think we saw enough of that from Brian Johnson for whatever reason. Maybe it was just Spags had a really good game plan and they were playing tight, but I feel like the Eagles defense is so susceptible to that, where I'm like, come on, can't, like, we have two of the best wide receivers in the game and you're telling me we can't get those, like, easy seven or 8 yard passes that other teams seem to, like, chew the Eagles up on.
Yeah, once a game it seems there's a offensive series that's either three and out or they get one first down and end up punting, where there's a QB draw, a run with Kenny Gainwell for some reason, and some sort of odd play where the pass goes to, like, Zacchaeus and it ends up with, like, either plus 2 yards or minus 2 yards, and at least three beat writers tweeting, we have A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, why are you throwing to Zacchaeus on, you know, third down or something like that. So it is a little perplexing. I don't know how, you know, like, in baseball there's pitch sequencing and times through the order and show them certain things and don't show them certain things. I'm not really sure how that translates to play calling. But, you know, Devontae has become the reliable, like, third down guy, even though they weren't remotely good on third down over the course of the entire game. He had a big third down catch when they were driving. I think that was the second touchdown to go up, or to go down three from 17-7 to 17-14, and that kept the drive alive. And then, of course, the next touchdown drive was his big 40-plus-yard catch. So he was great. Not really much else to say. I think it's such a luxury to have him and A.J. Brown. And I think he's going to get a nice hefty contract this off season.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, I think that would be, like, mismanagement if he didn't get like the bag because he's proven that he's like a star wide receiver, even though you know, AJ Brown's also on the team. Real quick, because you mentioned their struggles with third down, they were 3 for 11 on the day, in very stark contrast to the Chiefs, who went 8 for 17. That's one of those stats where, like, not to be reductive, but like, that'll tell you so much about a game. And to see that the Chiefs were nearly twice as effective on third down and lost the game, like, that just means that, you know, that's like another thing the Eagles overcame. Like, a very, and the Eagles, I think, are like third in the league in converting on third down. I think they're about 50%. It's like, that is a high mark. The Chiefs nearly hit that, and on the day, the Eagles were nearly half of that. So, I don't think it's unfair to say, like, it was a sloppy performance from the Eagles offense. Like, they managed to get enough going for them. Like, I think Swift was kind of the catalyst and kept them afloat in the first half. And then Devontae Smith, he had some big catches in the second half. And, you know, they're able to get 21 points, I think, on an average game. If that's your offensive output, you probably can't count on too many wins coming that way. But fortunately, and I think this is a good time we can turn the page, like, the defense, they did a really good job against a really good quarterback. And I think it's pretty telling. This is the quarterback that, like, tore that mostly same defense to shreds in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the only last thing I'll say about the offense, because you were talking about third down, is it kind of was the Eagles kind of flipped the script on their couple of things, for better or worse. Like, they're very good on third down. They were very bad on third down this game. Their defense is not, you know, is the bottom half of the league, especially against better quarterbacks, even though they've had their fair share. And the Chiefs were second in the league in drops and bad against the run. And they were very good against the run in the first half, and then the Eagles kind of got to them. And the Eagles' defense, who's good against the run, was bad against the run the first half and good against the run. So, you know, I guess it kind of evens out in the end. But yeah, for the defense, they forced two really big turnovers, and the turnovers themselves, I mean, I guess the MBS dropped as well, but the both turnovers was at most a 14-point swing and at least 6-point swing, because they were both in the red zone. And that, if you told me they would need two big red zone stops to win, I would have little faith in them getting one against the Chiefs. So right. To get two is like really, I don't want to say surprising, because it kind of diminishes the defense. The defensive line did get pressure on Mahomes, a guy who never gets sacked. Was pressured a bunch. Josh Sweat was rightfully pissed off that the intentional grounding did not result in a sack for himself. I don't know if you saw that quote, but
I did. It is crazy, yes. How that's not tracked that way. Like, like, there's no good reason that should go uncounted for a defensive player.
Yeah. So Jalen Carter. I think Brian Baldinger tweeted a few highlights of him, and on three of the four highlights, he was clearly held. He's doing, you know, exceptionally at the defensive tackle position. Fletcher Cox was all over the place, even though he had a bad roughing the passer penalty.
Did you think that was a like, where did that register on your, like, spectrum of calls? Did you think that was fair textbook penalty, or?
I think it was. I think it could have been called either way, but by rule, I think it was because of the two steps, and he in slow motion extended his arms like it was a push. So I think in slow motion there's a lot to point to it being a penalty. I think in real time it didn't look that late, but right. They didn't play too many replays in real time, so I wasn't upset at the call because I think it was too close, like you shouldn't put yourself in that position, but at the time I thought it was a hold because I didn't see what happened exactly, but yeah, it was definitely frustrating, but I think they got it done, and I actually, my confidence in the defense grew as the game went on. And yeah, I think I don't know if the defense is playing so well that Andy Reid decided not to go for it on 4th and 4 from the Eagles 40, something like that. But him punting there was a major decision that
in the course of the game,
maybe it's a little lost, but that was a big decision to punt there and continue the momentum for the defense.
Yeah, I'm surprised that that's not a bigger takeaway. Like I don't even remember the broadcast really pointing that out or like taking issue with it, because like I mean, I mentioned with their third down, with their third down success was looking like, and I know that like fourth down's a little different just because that like that's your last shot here, but they were having a ton of success on third down. I don't know why you wouldn't roll the dice there, because it's not like the Eagles, like, they'd be getting the ball at the 40, which isn't ideal, but like weighing the reward for getting it versus the risk of them getting it at the 40, because ultimately that punt is a touchback. They only get 19 yards of field possession, or they only scoot the Eagles back 19 yards. So like, I'm sure if they knew that result going into it, obviously they go for it there. But like, I don't know if there's much upside of like the Eagles get it at like their 10. Like it just seemed like a very conservative play call. And what happens after there? Like, I think that scrutiny should be louder than it is. That just seemed like a really bad decision there.
The touchback on top of that was like that was kind of like one of the first inclinations of the Eagles might claw their way back into this. Like, this is a lucky bounce. Like, they obviously still have to do something with the drive, but that was a questionable decision. And also the way Andy, and this goes back to his time with the Eagles, the way he spent the timeouts before the 2-minute warning, that the game ended with 1:40 left because of their turnover on downs and having no timeouts.
Yeah, no timeouts. Yeah, like I do think that real quick, going back to the decision to punt there, like, I know I was surprised to see that because we've gotten so accustomed to seeing an aggressive decision maker in Nick Sirianni. And, like, I think it's fair to say, like, generally speaking, like, he's one of the more aggressive coaches in the league. But he does have his, like, odd conservative decisions that, like, come out of nowhere. And we saw it when he decides to effectively swap timeouts once again for punting the ball. And that's like what opens the door for this last potential drive for the Chiefs. So it's like, we still can't seem to iron that out. Like they can't salt away the game. They'd rather their opponent have one last like dying gasp. And they've been able to sweat those out. But like, what was your take on that? Like, that last series was like, all right, I guess we're just gonna force their timeouts.
Yeah. It's tough. Sometimes it's hard to, in hindsight, to, you know, think of what timeout should or shouldn't be called as the game's going on. Of course, when there's 4 to 6 minutes left, it's kind of like, you know, you don't necessarily see the end of the game unfolding in front of you as well, or you're not as attuned to that. But then when you're kind of, you know, in the 3 minute or less mark, you're kind of doing the math and stuff like that. So yeah, I don't know. I think on some extent calling those timeouts are showing confidence in your offense, but I think there's a time and place for that, and I just don't really see, you know, I get having confidence in Mahomes and the offense, but at the same time, I think you need to play as if you're going to need those timeouts in under 2 minutes, so... Yeah, I don't really have much else of an opinion. Sometimes you criticize after you know it was a bad decision.
Yeah, and like I get it's fair that like we can criticize it after the fact, but in the moment it always seems like they either don't know what their plan is on that like last drive. And then they suddenly get forced into like, all right, like we already ran and had like little gain and they used a timeout. So like they're kind of like already in the hole. And it, at least from like as I'm watching the game, like it's trying to piece together their thinking, like they see it as like, all right, well now we're committed to that. Let's take another timeout, even if this run's predictable and won't get us anywhere. Like, it doesn't feel like there's forward thinking, or like it could just be a very poor execution. It's just it always pops up at like the worst time where it's like, all right, it's gonna be a 3 and out. Do you want to try and roll the dice and get a catch beyond the sticks, or do you want to play it conservative and guarantee them using multiple times out? It never seems like it goes how they're hoping or planning.
Yeah, I think the Eagles have really struggled with getting the ball and needing to take time off the clock,
mm-hmm.
and not getting that first down. So,
and like that was their superpower last season. Like,
yeah, yeah.
And you know, like those leads are insurmountable, but it was like, they had no trouble getting that first down to keep that clock running. Now it's right. Like they can't seem to get to the 2 minute warning.
Yeah, so I don't know, to some extent the bigger problem is not getting the first downs and taking more time off than punting and keeping your timeouts or, you know, risking stopping the clock with the pass. But I don't know, I think the one time I can remember this season where I was like, they need to pass to get a first down to ice the game was the pick six, or the near pick six in the Jets game, which they ended up losing. So I don't know. It's kind of, it's you just hope that you can run for 3 yards a carry on first and second down, and hope, and you know, risk a tush push or something, a fourth down tush push to seal a game. But I don't know. They did definitely luck out with the timeouts. Only other notes that I have, Britton Covey looked really good returning kicks. Had a
Yeah,
20
he's.
or 20 some yard return that put him over midfield, I believe, on one drive. So they got in pretty good position with him. On the other side, Kadarius Toney had a really good game, and
Yeah, I don't.
Josh
What is
Jobe
it?
did.
Yeah, that was a really good tackle by Joe. But, like, what's the deal with Tony? Only, like, it's like he suddenly becomes, where he was drafted when he faces the Eagles. It's just like this dude that is like largely a bust has like his best performances against the Eagles.
There's always bad players on opposing teams that have the Eagles number with, you know, Bashir
Right.
Towell and Tony.
But yeah, Covey, I think he's done really well this year. His 14 yards per punt return through the first 11 weeks ranks third in the NFL. So, don't want to jinx anybody here, but like I think he's on the short list for maybe a Pro Bowl there as a special teamer. That'd be nice. And then the other thing about him, you mentioned the Eagles kind of experimenting with the four wide receiver look. I would kind of like to see them try out Covey. Like, I feel like he's earned maybe like an offensive series or two. He's elusive, he's quick. Like, I'm just not sure if like Julio Jones is the guy who in those four wide receiver sets is gonna like really add a wrinkle to the offensive look there. Like, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe there's a good reason Covey's not out there for offense, but like, and maybe this is just wishful thinking, but seeing how elusive he is in the open field on these punt returns, I would just like to see him try.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'd rather have Julio's veteran presence there, but I do see the wrinkle for Covey, but I also feel like they haven't gone to Julio too much, and that might be by design. I'd like to see a little more excitement out of him, but I'm not too concerned with that spot. At the moment, it seems like Devontae and AJ are holding down the fort receiver-wise. They definitely struggled without Goddard, so you know that wide receiver three gets much more you know, scrutiny, I think. But yeah.
Is Quez still on IR? Like, what's the deal with him?
Yeah, I think he had like a hamstring or something.
'Cause he hasn't been on the injury report, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's on IR.
Huh. I just feel like he's been on IR for a while. Like, and like we've seen from like the past few guys on the IR, like they'll pop up on the injury report, like as they near, but maybe I honestly forget
I
what
don't
it
think
was that
his
sent
window's
IR.
open.
Okay. Well, that's
The
that.
Eagles sit atop the NFC at 9-1. They currently have the one seed. A game behind them are the Detroit Lions at 8-2, 49ers at 7-3, Saints at 5-5, and of course the Cowboys in that first wild card spot at 7-3, Seahawks at 6-4, Vikings at 6-5 in the seventh spot. So as the second half of the season continues, we'll monitor the playoff seeding. The Eagles have four more tough games, starting with Sunday, Kelly Green at home against the Bills, then at home against the Niners, at Dallas, and at Seattle following that. So let's get into the upcoming game against the Bills. Josh Allen comes to town. This is the first real matchup, I think, in the Josh Allen era against the Eagles when the Eagles were also good. So should be an exciting game. The Bills are 6-5 and in second place behind the Miami Dolphins. Josh Allen has had 11 or 12 straight games with an interception. So you like to hear that with this Eagles defense coming off a very strong game. Their running backs aren't the strongest group. James Cook, Latavius Murray back there. They have strong receivers in Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis, Khalil Shakir as well. And their rookie tight end Dalton Kincaid has had a good year. So they have a number of weapons, and they have a strong O-line as well. Of course, Temple grad, although he says he's from You Already Know University, Deion Dawkins at left tackle. Osiris Torrance, the rookie right guard out of, I believe, University of Florida as well. They're obviously a good team and obviously have not lived up to that this season at 6-5. They've had turnover issues. They have struggled against good teams, so they're not a mediocre 6-5, but they are definitely a team. I would say they're a very good team with a number of flaws, and against the Eagles, with the Eagles playing well, at least those flaws will become magnified. So this Bills offense, what are your initial thoughts, and what are your thoughts for the game?
So I consider myself an expert of the Bills offense, considering I have Josh Allen in both my fantasy leagues. Obviously, I say that in jest, but he has been a frustrating quarterback because he is so talented, yet he is very prone to turnovers. And the combination of those two things reminds me very much so of prime Carson Wentz. He's very athletic and mobile. He can get you those extra yards. He can, like, throw just bombs downfield. Like, he's a weapon. And now the only thing is, like, sometimes he puts on that cape and he wants to do it all. So, like, in my mind, he is like the modern prime Carson Wentz, and those mistakes will catch up to you in a given game. Against the Broncos, he had I believe multiple interceptions and a fumble. And after that game, the Bills fired their offensive coordinator, Ken Dorsey. So now, they did win last week. They kind of had a bounce-back performance against the Jets. Now, I watched that game, and it wasn't a very explosive performance, but it seemed like it was a much more focused and deliberate offensive approach, which I think if that happens against the Eagles, that could be bad, because as we know with this Eagles defense, like, they're happy to let quarterbacks kind of take what's underneath, survive the down, and just slowly get down the field, and they're just hoping and praying that you step on like a landmine at some point in the game. Now, I think he'll probably come back to his tendencies, which is more of that like free winging offensive approach, which is like, yeah, throw bombs downfield, roll out of the pocket, try to hurdle a linebacker. So but overall, like, he's a good quarterback. According to DVOA, their offense is third in the league right now. That bests the Eagles right now. They're sixth in the league. They're like rate metrics, like EPA, which just grades if it is a positive or negative outcome. They have a really good they grade out really well for that metric. So, like, consistently, they're a good, productive offense. It's just that when those turnovers pop up, like, that's where they start to get into trouble. So yeah, that's kind of like Josh Allen in a nutshell, I think. He's you know, he's got his weapon in Diggs. But I'd say there's a pretty steep cliff after Diggs. Like, James Cook is a solid running back. I'd say that, like, he's in the tier of, like, DeAndre Swift, which is, you know, good, but certainly not a star. Like, there are limits to his game, but overall he's pretty solid. Gabe Davis, he's good, but he kind of has his games where he disappears and he can be removed from a game. He can also be a guy where, like, all it takes is, like, one deep shot and suddenly it's 6 points. And yeah, Dalton Kincaid, he's came on for, like, the past month, I'd say, after Dawson Knox, their other tight end, went down with an injury. He started to see more snaps, and overall, it's like a good crew, but they've been hampered by their fair share of turnovers. So I think it's kind of like that'll be the number one thing for the Eagles defense. Like, the turnovers will be there if you're ready for them, I think.
Yeah, Stephon Diggs, a guy that lines up in the slot a lot, so luckily, you know, with Roby back, hopefully that will not cause them as many issues as when Roby was out with the shoulder injury. The Bills' O-line has not allowed too many sacks. I think that will be a indicator of how well the Eagles' defense will perform, the defensive line as well. So I think the turnovers will be key, and hopefully, you know, if the Bills cause more turnover, you know, turn the ball over more than the Eagles, I think the Eagles will have a better time managing the game, but that's obvious. As far as the defense goes, they have a number of good edge rushers, Greg Rousseau and Von Miller. They're always in the middle of things. And on the back end, our old friend Rasul Douglas, recently traded in season, is one of their top corners, and their safety duo of Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde are very strong as well. Linval Joseph is on the team. Thought that was interesting. Right. And if you remember back from our free agency pods, Puna Ford, a third string defensive tackle, one of my predictions for the Eagles, obviously.
Did we ever find out where Matt Ioannidis ended up? Is he still a free agent?
I don't know, but actually, I'll look that up while we record.
Well, while you get to the bottom of that, I did want to talk about a few other names. Leonard Floyd, he has 9.5 sacks. That leads the team. A.J. Epinesa, I think he's in his second or third year, but he's a young, productive edge rusher. Ed Oliver, defensive tackle. I think he was probably in the same draft, but he can cause some trouble up front. And on the note of Von Miller, I know he's got that star name and whatnot, but he got that big contract from the Bills, but I was kind of surprised, like, he's not really seeing the field too much. His snap counts, I think they're still trying to work him back from his ACL surgery. I think he was on the PUP for the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season, so I think they're kind of, like, keeping him on a pitch count, hoping that he'll be ready and available for the playoffs. So, like, I wouldn't think about him as, like, the Von Miller we know and love from the Broncos. He's not that guy anymore. Unfortunately, injuries have derailed his career, and it's nice to see him on the mend. I wouldn't think about him as you might if you just said, like, hey, Von Miller, but that's not to say that they don't have the, you know, they have horses on their defensive line. So But the other thing is they're without their star linebacker, Matt Milano. He broke his leg in week 5. So similar to the Chiefs, who were without Nick Bolton last week, the Eagles will be fortunately missing his effect on the defense. Now the other thing is their secondary. I know you mentioned Poyer and Hyde, who are kind of like the longtime great safety tandem. So they're healthy, but like pretty much everybody else is not. Their star cornerback, Tre'Davious White, he unfortunately tore his Achilles in week 4. You mentioned Rasul Douglas filling in. Like, I feel pretty good if like Rasul Douglas is filling in at this point. I know he's made some plays, but like he's more of a journeyman at this point than a reliable starter, especially going up against either Devontae Smith or A.J. Brown. But their two other cornerbacks, Teron Johnson and Dane Jackson, they both are recovering from their respective concussions. And real quick, just popping down to the injury report, the two of them did not practice today. I believe their concussion was from this last week, so the odds of them being ready and like turning around through that protocol, I think are probably low. Like, we haven't seen too many players have a concussion and play the following week. More often than not, it's typically they miss that following week, and if all things go accordingly, they're available for the next. So they may be down like their first three cornerbacks if you're counting White there. So obviously that could be a big opportunity for the Eagles pass catchers. And without their linebacker, they're kind of, their defense has been their weaker unit. By DVOA, they're the 15th ranked defense, and by comparison, the Eagles are 17th. So it is a pretty evenly weighted matchup. And then while we're talking about that, just through the special teams lens, Eagles currently ranked 5th in the league to the Bills 21st. So that's like another, that's like the biggest gap between the units for the two teams, but the defense for the Bills has been the weakest. Obviously, they're, by ranking, their special teams is worse, but their defense has been the problem for this team. And you take a look at their IR and their injury report, I think that this week could be another case for a defense that's kind of in tatters.
Matt Ioannidis is indeed a free agent.
Okay. That's surprising. I thought he would be valued in the league.
Well, maybe next year. The Eagles injury report, limited was A.J. Brown with a thigh, Julio Jones with a knee, DeAndre Swift with an ankle, and there he is, Quez Watkins, hamstring, limited. Milton Williams, I think, is the biggest non-participant due to concussion protocol, especially being on a short week. It does not look like he will play.
Unfortunate. He had a good game up until his absence.
Yeah, he did. Dallas Goedert, obviously, Justin Evans has been out. Calcaterra with the ankle didn't participate. Derek Barnett for personal reasons. On the other side, Josh Allen dealing with a right shoulder injury was a full participant. Micah Hyde had a stinger. He was limited. And I think that's it for major names.
Of the guys who are limited, like, who do you think is not playing from the Eagles? Like, it's early. Today's Wednesday.
Yeah, so I would say Calcaterra and Milton Williams, probably.
Okay. Yeah.
Everyone else I would expect.
I could see Calcaterra turning it around.
Maybe Quez not. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal. Like, I think they're putting him in they're really putting him on ice. But yeah, I expect AJ Brown, Julio, and DeAndre, like, if they're all limited on Wednesday, I imagine that they're going to be ready. they didn't like miss snaps if I recall correctly. So I think those are like kind of slow, like giving them a bit of rest. So nothing that's causing any alarms for me.
Yeah. Eagles are 3-point favorites as of today, Wednesday. Let's get into predictions.
Do you remember whose turn it is?
You go first.
Okay. All right, my first one here, I'd say it's a bit of a layup, but I'm going to go for it. So after a quiet game against the Chiefs, A.J. Brown returns to a string of dominance with 110 yards and 2 touchdowns. And what led me here, 2 reasons. A.J. Brown didn't really see the ball a lot. I feel like that happened earlier in the year, and they're going to get him the ball early and often. That's kind of like the unspoken deal I think he has with Jalen and Nick. Like, all right, I didn't get mine last week, I'm going to get mine this week. But also, like we mentioned, the cornerbacks, they're injured, they're concussed, they have guys on IR, so I don't know if it'll be Russell Douglas or if it'll be Cam Lewis, maybe? Teron Johnson and Dane Jackson are out. Like, whoever's going to be facing A.J. Brown will be in trouble. And I think that could probably also extend to who's going up against Devontae Smith, like maybe Poyer and the other safety, like, will be paying more closer attention to them, but I just think A.J. is set up for a nice game.
Yeah. My first prediction after I guess this whole season has been kind of not splashy at all. I think James Bradbury will have 2 interceptions against Josh Allen.
Yeah, well, what's interesting, I know that there was predictions and talk about if Bradbury would be playing in the slot against Kelce, and it doesn't seem like that was the case. It seemed like they kind of just had him line up traditionally.
Well, it was mostly Byard, it seemed.
Yeah. And I suppose that's good that they trust Byard enough to cover Kelce. They were giving Kelce, they were, double and triple teaming him. So maybe that's, I don't know if he can do that against a wide receiver, a guy on the outside. I don't know if he can commit those resources, but maybe if Diggs, if he is seeing his lion's share of snaps in the slot, maybe that's something the Eagles try to deploy this week because of just the large discrepancy or difference in talent between him and the next level guys. But yeah, I think Bradbury getting his hands on the ball would be nice to see. All right, my second one here. Jalen Carter gets a strip sack or forces a fumble. Jalen Carter, he's been dominant up front, and even though he didn't really get to the quarterback last 48 hours ago against the Chiefs, maybe I'm missing something, but he was getting into the backfield. I think the Bills offensive line is good, but Jalen Carter's just been really impressive and as a rookie, so I wouldn't be surprised if he kind of breaks through, gets to the quarterback or wraps up a running back and strips the ball. But I've been really impressed with him, and I think coming off of the bye, it seems like they're kind of leaning on him a little bit more. They're trusting his increasing snap percentage. So I think he could be seeing more opportunities as the season goes on, him just not getting taken off the field as frequently. And, of course, mentioning Jalen Carter, we should talk about his brainy diving for the spiked ball. Did you catch that in real time?
I didn't. I saw it after the fact, but the more I watch it, the more it seems like this. I don't know if the spike hit the ground between his hands, but it looked like it hit his hands and popped up in the air and didn't land too far away from him. Like, it seemed like he could have
I think
still
he got
tried to
there
catch it.
cleanly. Like, it looked like it was like a
Yeah.
volleyball dive. Like,
He
I
kind
think
of just
he.
like let it just land after, but it seemed like if he sort of crawled to his right just slightly, he could have caught it.
Yeah. Now, did you see that Grady Jarrett? I forget what year, but when Grady Jarrett was with the Falcons, I believe he pulled that off successfully.
No.
Yeah, look it up. It's so Jalen Carter says that he saw that on the internet. I would
I thought it
wager
was
that
a high
that's where
school.
he's.
I thought he said he was saw a high school game.
Oh, maybe that's the case. I just saw that that clip was going around, and
Oh, okay.
yeah, look it up, Grady Jarrett.
Yeah. My second prediction is that, and I believe this is the case, but Albert Okwuegbunam will get his first reception as an Eagle.
Okay, nice. I
He
did you
got
see that he
some
was?
screen time with the tush push touchdown, and
Yeah.
I think Calcaterra has a shot of not being in there, so Albert O has a shot at playing.
I also like only saw him in that tush push. Was he seeing snaps anywhere else, or was it just there?
He might have been for like run plays where you don't really notice the tight end as much, but I definitely didn't see him running routes, or I didn't notice at least.
Right. How about Jack Stoll? He got a catch
He
for like two
did.
yards.
He did. I like Jack Stoll. I think they do him dirty. They should have him run some routes.
Yeah, that is something we didn't really speak about or touch on. Like Dallas Goedert's absence was like you felt it in the run game and the pass game. Like, I do hope that they try to do something a little bit with the tight ends just to like counterbalance his absence, because it's just kind of like they played straight up with nothing to replace there. So I would like to see an Albert O play a target at the very least. All right, my last one here, Reed Blankenship reels in his third interception. So similar thinking along your prediction for Bradbury. We mentioned Josh Allen. He has his nominal interception of the game. So I've been liking what Reed's been doing this year. Kevin Byard got one on Monday. Give me Reed on Sunday.
All right. My final prediction is sort of the inverse of your first prediction in that DeAndre Swift will have a touchdown and over 100 yards rushing. I think the offensive line comes back this game really strong, and they really establish the run and have success doing it. So big run game for the Eagles. Even though you'd probably expect a big pass game. Not to say that they wouldn't have a big pass game, but they had a big both.
Yeah, no, I think like last game, like DeAndre Swift, he's an integral part of their offensive success. So I don't think that means that they should walk away from that run game. I think that they play off of each other, so I could see Swift having a good game. Did we mention yet that this will be their second Kelly Green game?
We may have in passing, but yeah, it's the second and final Kelly Green game, and I think that that helps mitigate if there is any trap game element to it. It helps mitigate that because
Right.
hopefully they're not looking ahead too much to the 40. If the 49ers game was a Kelly Green game, I feel like it would have been like this game that no one would have shown up. So the hype of the Kelly Green, I think, will help. In this game on Sunday.
Yeah, I think them coming home in the Kelly Green after beating the Chiefs, like I think I do think that like the team, like giving what the Chiefs' advantages were last week and factoring that in, like, I think that swings around to the Eagles this time around. Like, coming home, getting out your alternative jerseys that everybody's like clamoring for. I do think that adds some good juju for the Eagles. My player of the game, I'm going with Darius Slay. And I'm hoping
Interesting.
that we can see one of his vintage lockdown performances. They'll certainly need it against Diggs. We see Slay pulleys out like a handful of times throughout the season where he needs to be big play Slay, and he's going up against one of the number one receivers. For whatever reason, against CeeDee Lamb, who I think is like a good proxy. To talk about Diggs, like a top of the league wide receiver who sees plenty of time in the slot, who's a big playmaker. For whatever reason, the Eagles opted for like Eli Ricks and crew rather than Darius Slay. So I'm hoping that Sean Desai kind of takes note and like scraps that plan and says, all right, I'm going to put my best cornerback on their best wide receiver, give him some extra help downfield if he needs it. Like, I just they should let everybody else try to beat them. It shouldn't be through Diggs, so I think Darius Slay will have a hand in stopping that.
Yeah, and they did a good job doubling Travis Kelce as well to make the other guys have to beat them. My player of the game, you mentioned him, Jalen Carter. I think it's going to be a big day for the defense, and Jalen Carter is going to have another monster game and lead to Josh Allen getting more sacks than normal.
Yeah, I'm crossing my fingers for a big day from Carter, so I can certainly see it happening. Score prediction time. Eagles -3 at home. What did you think about that? Does that feel right? Does that feel
I
too.
think it should, that's probably right, but I just feel like the way the Bills have been playing, the way the Eagles have been playing, it should be skewed the Eagles a little more. But I do understand it's two good teams going into the season, two Super Bowl contenders, so
What's your line for the game?
my line would probably be
Okay.
five or six.
Yeah. I was like in my mind after the game, I was like, Eagles should be -5. So I'm
Yeah.
still a little surprised it's -3. 'Cause like
Could always change.
I don't even think if you ask the Bills, like, do you think this game's like a pick'em? I think they'd say no. But I do think that like what they're baking in is like the Bills' biometrics have been playing worse than that, and I think the inverse is true for the Eagles, which is like their record's probably a win or two higher than like what the numbers say. So I do
Yeah.
think that they're coming at it from like opposite paths. Like the Bills have had probably more bad outcomes than they should if you just like did the math, and the Eagles the opposite. Like they should have worse luck and outcomes based by
Yeah.
the
Did
numbers, so.
you see the ESPN index has the Eagles losing the next four in a row?
No, I saw that they had the Bills winning though, so I didn't
Yeah.
see that, but that kind of goes to speak to like sooner or later, I think the Eagles like they just need to like perform better and like they're somehow like just scraping by. So I don't like I think losing the next four is wild, but I don't think it's like some game that they're gonna run away with by any stretch.
So
Alright,
what's your score
so
prediction?
my score prediction. I have the Eagles scoring 30 and the Bills scoring 24. I have the Eagles covering and getting their 10th win of the season at home in green. Kelly
In
Green.
Kelly Green. I have a similar prediction. I have Eagles 31, Bills 20. I think it's a bit of a
Okay.
wider margin. but I think they have an offensive explosion. I think they're building upon the last two games where the offense, you know, struggled last game and had you know, fits and starts against the Cowboys. So give me 31 points, and the Eagles defense continues their success, and Josh Allen continues his turnover tendencies.
Yeah, no, that tracks for me. I'm kind of in a win-win scenario here with him as my fantasy quarterback. Either he implodes or disappoints and the Eagles win, or he has a good day and the Eagles unfortunately come out on the short side of things. Now, I'd be really disappointed if he has a bad game and the Eagles still lose.
Or he has a great game and the Eagles win. That's a win-win for you.
Yeah. I think the win-win happens maybe in like 2% of outcomes. I don't know what that looks like. But I did want to end here. And that's the news of Shaq Leonard.
Right.
So he was cut a few days ago by the Colts. And Shaq Leonard.
I thought it was yesterday.
It may have been. I forget exactly which day, but a former All-Pro linebacker. He's had multiple back surgeries in the past calendar year, so injuries have soured his career trajectory, but early on he was one of the better linebackers in the whole league. He's cut, and the thinking is just that the Colts weren't using him as like a starter. He was not pleased with his diminished role, so they cut him, kind of doing good by him, like letting him find the opportunity he's looking for. The news this afternoon is he has cleared waivers officially, so his like if he didn't clear waivers and somebody picked him up, they would have to pay his remaining salary. So that's not the case. He has cleared waivers. He's now free to sign with a team of his choosing, and according to Adam Schefter, two teams expected to have interest in him are the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles. So both those teams make sense. The Cowboys recently shut down Leighton Vander Esch, their linebacker, and everybody here in Philadelphia knows that the Eagles don't really have linebackers besides Zach Cunningham and Nicholas Morrow at the moment, with N'Kobe Dean on IR. So it's an interesting name. I'll be honest, I don't know how effective he is as a linebacker after these surgeries, but I think it's certainly a good waiver to take, and I don't see the downside of it. So I would be excited and eager to see what he could do with the Eagles if the two of them decide to make a deal.
For sure, it'll be an exciting addition or a minor addition if the Cowboys sign him. So obviously, the Howie, well, at the right price, you know, that would be exciting. But I do not by any means expect them to overpay or pay a decent amount for a linebacker, even if he was a former very good one. So we'll keep an eye.
He's only 28, like. I know, like, you never want to hear, like, multiple back surgeries in the past year, but, like, he's not on the wrong side of 30. Maybe he's more of, like, a, he only sees, like, early downs. Like, I don't know quite what his role would be, but even in a more strategic role, like, it doesn't hurt, you know? I certainly think it would be worth seeing if he's a better linebacker than Nicholas Morrow, so. Fingers crossed that those two say let's make it happen.
For sure. All right, we will be back next week. Happy Thanksgiving to all. If the audio quality is not as good as it usually is, we apologize. We're not in our usual setup, or at least I'm not. We will see you after the Bills game. For Mike, I'm Ian. Thanks for listening.